It was an incredible journey for me to go through. And I'm so grateful that God delivered that message to me in that way, because it was just awesome and moving and impactful. Welcome to Enliven the Broken. My name is Tracy Melner, and I am your host for this weekly podcast conversation about the joy of discovering God in our own brokenness. I personally have found God's love and His presence in my darkest places, and I've healed from my brokenness through His promises. And I want to share those stories with you in hopes that you can find the same love and healing that I have found. Together, let us break free from the shame of our brokenness. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of another day and for your unending kindness. Today we seek your guidance. We seek alignment with your divine plan for us. Lead us to your path. Ensure that we are following the life you envision for us. Our trust in your guidance is unwavering. We are grateful for your constant presence and guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I purposely gave this episode an ambiguous name because I didn't want any of you to come, I didn't want my listeners to come into this with a preconceived idea of where it's going to end up, because I'm going to tell you a story and I want you to experience the events in this story in the same order that I did, and mostly just to see if you end up in the same place that I did and the same realization that I did with what occurred throughout this process. Last week, I spoke about my biological father and his passing in 2005. And so I thought this would be a great story to follow up with, because this is in regards to his passing and his death. One of the hard things about his passing for me was I wasn't fully aware of his faith. And while his family told me that he was a believer, I wasn't sure how strong his faith was. I never saw him practice any faith. And I just had this real uneasy feeling because I wasn't sure where he was after he passed. And the day that we buried him was very difficult for me, because in addition to the loss, all I could see was his body in the ground. Like I had no feeling of where his soul was, and the only image I could see was him in that coffin in the ground, and it was very painful to think about that and to have that image in my mind. You have to understand my father and who he was. He was a larger-than-life personality. He was a tall, 6'6" cowboy who unfortunately had demons that were just as big as and strong as he was. He had a very big heart. He always made me feel so much love from him, regardless of his actions. I mentioned he wasn't always present as much as he should have been, and certainly didn't make the best decisions that he should have as a parent. But he did have a big heart. He was a fun-loving kind of guy. And like I said, he was just a larger-than-life personality. He enjoyed the good times. And I don't know that I was exposed to his daily life very frequently, but I knew that I was very aware that he was an alcoholic. And fortunately, I was never exposed to the negative side of that demon. I never saw the drunkenness or the downsides of his alcoholism. I'd heard about them, but I was never exposed to them directly. But he spent most of his time in bars and nightclubs. He was a bit of a womanizer, and he was also a dreamer. He did not like working for someone else or working for the man. He wanted to work for himself, and I believe engaged in several get-rich-quick schemes, and that was just his personality. And I loved him so much. Little bit of time that I was exposed to him, I believe, was actually a good thing, that I wasn't around him enough to see how bad things really were. And so not having visibility into how bad things really were and being able to see him on a limited basis where he really did get to show up and be the Disneyland dad, that was enough for me. And I, up until the day that he died, I still held him in high regard and loved him so very much and felt love from him. Obviously, once I became a parent, it became very evident to me the areas that he was lacking as a parent, but it was very easy to forgive him for those things. And I felt like he intentionally stayed away because he knew that he was not fit for us to be around him. Maybe that's me trying to justify his absence or make it feel a little bit better, but that's essentially what I've always believed. But because of the way that he lived his life, I knew that he had a lot to atone for. And not knowing where he was when he passed, it was not expected. And I'd never had a conversation with him about his faith or where he was in his relationship with God. He was a believer, but it did not seem like he had been practicing or had been certainly not living in any kind of close communion with God. As you can imagine, when he passed, I was just heartbroken at the thought of where he might be. So 7 years after he passes, I'm at home alone and I have this dream that was like nothing I've ever experienced before. It was a very vivid and very intense dream. So in this dream, I am sitting at this counter and there's like wood paneling and the counter is that old kind of almond yellow formica. And I'm sitting on the old kind of avocado green leather or pleather bar stool. And there's a rotary phone sitting right in front of me. And I'm just sitting there. Nothing is happening. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting at this bar. And I hear a voice behind me calling my name. And it's my dad's voice. And it first starts out very soft. It's Tracy, Tracy, Tracy. And then it slowly gets more intense and louder. Tracy, Tracy, Tracy. And it gets my attention because he is almost angry, but I'm not responding to him. And he's, hey, I am here. And so he gets my attention and he tells me to write this down. Okay. And so ironically, a piece of paper and a pen, it just appears in front of me and he tells me to write this down. And so I grab the pen and I can't see him at this point. He's still like behind me. I can't see him, but I can hear him. And so he says, he tells me to write this down. And so he starts calling out letters. So he says, S T space and. So I write A N N. And then he says, no, cross that N out, that last N, cross it out. So I scribble out that last N. And then he says, B, A, U, E, R. Okay, so that's what I've written down. And then he says, make the call. Make the call. Make the call. Make the call. Like just very intense commanding me to make the call. So I pick up this rotary phone. And I dial the letters that he has me written down on this piece of paper. S-T-A-N-B-A-U-E-R. Okay. And the phone rings, but nobody answers. And so then I hang up. And then instantly we're in a new room, different room. It's like in the same house, in the same building, because all the wood paneling is still there. The carpet's the same. And he walks in and now I can see him. And he's looks like he did in his heyday. He looks happy and healthy. And he's like, see, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. And I grab him and I hug him. And the sensation of his presence was so real. I felt my arms around his waist. I looked up, and while I couldn't see his face, I looked up and I saw his beard, and I touched his beard, and I felt it. The sensation of touch was so real in that dream. I felt him. He was there. And then I wake up and I remember sitting up in my bed. I was alone in my house, and I just felt this. I was almost like, oh my, like he was just here. He was here. I was just like, what? I was beside myself. I was like, I don't know what that was. I don't know what just happened, but I truly believed that my dad was just there, that he had just visited me. So I got up and I wrote down what he told me to write down. And then I laid there and I was like, what was that all about? I felt like he had sent me a message. And the first thing I thought was, oh my God, my dad wants me to connect with some woman. I was thinking Ann Bauer, who's this woman? He's wanting me to call some old fling that he had, because that would be right up his alley. Okay. That's just the kind of man he was. Like every time he would have a new girlfriend that he was proud of, he would call me and tell me all about her. And so that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh my God, he wants me to call somebody. He wants me to call this person. So the next day I get up and I'm just beside myself. I know that this happened and it was real. And I was just, I didn't know what to think about it. And so I remember just sitting there, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Let me just really process what has happened. And the first thing, I'm like, okay, what did he want me to do? Who does he want me to get in contact with? So I immediately start researching the phone number, like the same way I called the number in my dream. I wrote that number down and I just researched. I was like Googling what this number was. Did it belong to anyone? It ended up being like some Nova Scotia area code. The number was not valid. And so then I'm like searching for Ann Bauer. I'm like, who's Ann Bauer? And then I start looking for, maybe because he had an ST in front of it, maybe that's the street something. I'm looking for a street named Ann Bauer in Fort Worth. That's where my father lived. And so I'm just doing all kinds of research, trying to figure out what this message was. And nothing was making sense. And so then I was like, okay, you know, I know that this felt so real. Can a spirit actually of a loved one visit you? You know, so I start Googling spirits visiting us and spirits of loved ones, you know, visiting us in dreams. And I find out that there are people that have experienced visitation dreams. And some of the descriptions that were given of these dreams were almost exactly like what I felt. They were very vivid and intense. The person that has passed away looks very healthy. And there's typically a message that's delivered in these visitation dreams. And you just instantly know that they're real when you wake up. That's the feeling that most of them present, the visitation dreams do. And so I thought, okay, I'm not the only one that's experienced this. So that's good. Okay. So then I said, okay, so I'm not the only one that has experienced visitation dreams. Okay. So what is this message that he's trying to tell me? And so I can't figure out who this person is or what this street is. And so then I Google the exact thing that he tells me that I've written down. So ST space AN space BAUER. And what comes up just floored me. I dropped my phone that I was searching on, dropped my pen and paper, because STANBAUER is the name of a saint, Saint Andreas Bauer. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, my father visited me in a dream and gave me the name of a saint, like name dropped a saint, because he knew that was the only way I was going to believe that it was real. And this isn't a common saint. This isn't one that we pray to, or this is not a saint that you hear of on a daily basis. This was a random saint. Saint Andreas Bauer was born in France. He was a missionary in China, ended up getting captured during the Boxer Rebellion and was essentially murdered. He was 33 years old when he was murdered, and he was canonized as a saint in the 1980s. And so he was a young saint. He was a new saint and not a saint that is normally talked about. And so here's this totally random saint's name that I was given in a dream, presumably by my father. And so I start realizing what's happening. And what I'm thinking is my dad is in purgatory. And if, okay, so purgatory is one of probably the most commonly contested beliefs in the Catholic faith, because I believe that when we die, we have to go through a state of purification. While we are saved because Jesus died on the cross, we still have to go through purification, which is what purgatory is. Unfortunately, the word purgatory sounds so dire and almost negative. And so when people talk about purgatory, they're like, oh my God, how can that be a real thing? The Bible does tell us that nothing impure can enter the gates of heaven. And while we can seek forgiveness for our sins here on earth, we still have to atone for those sins and we have to be cleansed of those sins. And that's essentially what purgatory is. And so when I think about my father living the life that he did and dying the way that he did, now knowing that he was a believer, and now 7 years have passed, it is very easy for me to believe that he could have been in a state of purification that long, because he had a lot to atone for. The other thing that we know from our faith is that souls in purgatory need prayers from the living in order to, as part of their purification process, we have to pray for them here. The souls of the living have to pray for the dead in order to hasten the amount of time that they are spending in purgatory. They need our prayers. And what this dream has told me is that not only do they need our prayers, it was necessary. That was the inflection in his voice, in my dad's voice, the almost like commanding me to make the call. He's telling me to, I pray for me. I need your prayers is what he's telling me to do. Make the call. This is the saint that's escorting me right now. This is the saint that's escorting him, or this is the saint that is interceding for him. Okay, because now what I know is that my father did not visit me in a dream, because spirits of our loved ones cannot do that. But what can be communicated to our spirit is God can communicate to us, and he can communicate to us through our dreams, through our thoughts in our mind. And so what I believe this dream was, one, God knows my concerns. He knew that I was worried about where my father was. And he brought this dream to me in such a way that he knew that I needed to believe it and that I needed to be able to decipher what was happening. So he knew how concerned I was about where my father was. And he was showing me, your father is here. Your father is with me. He is in purgatory. And he also proved to me where he was by showing me that he needed my prayers. He needed my prayers in order to proceed through purgatory. That's why once I made the call in my dream, I immediately got to see my father and he was okay. He was all right. He was okay. Remember? So the saint's name that I was given was essentially proof that's the proof that I needed. Because had it just been a dream and there was no name dropping, there was no saint's name dropped, I would have just thought it was me missing my father. I would not have put it together in the way that I did, because the delivery of the saint's name was so random and so in line with everything that we are taught about saints interceding for us and saints and angels escorting us to the pearly gates, that without that, I don't know that I would have ever been able to put it together. And the other thing is, at this time, I was still a pretty new Catholic. I would call myself a baby Catholic at this time. And I hadn't fully grasped the idea of praying for the souls and offering mass for the deceased. And the second I realized that this was a saint's name that I was given, I realized I never prayed for him. I never prayed for his soul, because I hadn't learned or realized how important it was. It was one of those things that I saw people do, but I didn't fully understand and never really sought to understand it, unfortunately. And now I'm presented with proof that purgatory exists and proof that the souls of our loved ones absolutely need our prayers and need us to offer mass for them in order for them to graduate through purgatory. It's part of their purification process. So I didn't want to announce that this podcast, this episode was about purgatory, or that it was about the souls of our loved ones, or even a visitation dream, because I didn't want any one of you to get any kind of preconceived notion about where this was going. And I wanted you to follow me on the same journey that I went on to get to the end result. So I would be very interested to hear what any of you have to say about this dream, what any of you have to say about the name dropping of a saint in my dream. I'm just so curious about what all of you think. And didn't, when you were following the story, did you end up in the same, at the same answer that I did? So please let me know. I'm really curious. And if you have any information on St. Andreas Bower, the information I found was very limited. I'm still curious as to why that was the saint's name that was dropped. Is that the saint that was interceding on my father's behalf? Or was that the saint that maybe he was escorting my father? I don't know, but I just know that saint is involved somehow. So, you know, we know, like in Revelation 5, we were told that the saints are bringing the prayers of God's people to him. So we know that the saints intercede for us. And so either that, either St. Andreas Bower was interceding for me to God because I've been concerned about where my father was, either he was interceding on my behalf and basically informing God that I needed God to tell me where he was, and I needed God to tell me that I needed to pray for him, or possibly that's the saint that is actually escorting my father to the gates of heaven. I don't know, but those are the two scenarios that I have come up with. But I wanted to share it with you because it's, to me, it's just such an incredible story. It was an incredible journey for me to go through. And I'm so grateful that God delivered that message to me in that way, because it was just awesome and moving and impactful. And I'd love to hear what you all think about it. So let me know. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen in. If you'd like to share your own story, if you'd like to send me a message, you can reach me on any of the social media or podcast platforms. You can also email me directly at Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-E-Y, at enliventhebroken.com. Also, if you'd like to support our show as we share God's love with listeners everywhere in the world, you can do that by going to our website at enliventhebroken.com and selecting the support button at the top left. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.